To keep us in your du'as, especially in this holy month of Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dante's Inferno.
Dante defined our modern conception of hell 700 years ago. Why Dante? Why this map of hell?
Someone created a plague.
Without Professor Langdon, no one could find the virus.
Oh my God.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. To all our brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran and the teachings therein with our dear and beloved brother Habib. Brother Habib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I hope that you're praying for us this Ramadan.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. God willing.
So we are on chapter 80 of the Quran, and let's listen to verses 11 onwards from this chapter, and we'll be back for the discussion. Don't go away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
كلا إنها تذكرة.
No, indeed, these verses are a reminder.
فمن شاء ذكره.
So whoever wills may remember it.
في صحف مكرمة.
It is recorded in honored sheets. Exalted and purified. Carried by the hands of messenger angels. Noble and dutiful.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to verses 11 onwards from chapter 80 of the Quran. Let's go through these verses with Brother Habib. It begins by saying, nay, truly it is a reminder. It is a reminder, is it talking about the message that the Quran just gave about don't frown at people who are asking for guidance, or is it talking about the Quran or something else here?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The best translation that I saw actually is actually by قُلِ قَرَائِ. No, indeed, these verses of the Quran are a reminder. So here...
It's probably in brackets.
Yeah, these verses. These the verses of the Quran are in brackets, yeah. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the Quran is one of the, let's say, examples of reminder. It reminds the human beings.
And then the next verse says, so let whomever will remember it. There's another translation to that as well. So let whomsoever he wills remember it. Apparently God, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not everybody gets to remember the teachings of the Quran.
Not like that, no. That's mm-hmm. I don't think that's a good translation.
Oh, that's not a good translation.
Yeah, the better translation would be, so let anyone who wishes remember it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not forcing anyone. Like we talked about on the like two episodes back before the holy month of Ramadan. And we said we didn't want to bring it up in the holy month of Ramadan. Here it's very important to understand that there's this concept of, there's this idea available. And it was not only available during the time of Al-Asha'ira, who were at the end of the 3rd century of the Hijri calendar. They were even available during the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Even more, it was Muawi who brought it up. It was Muawi's idea. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates our actions. It is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces us to do the obligations like prayers and fasting and staying away from the prohibited things. And it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that forces us to do this and to do that from, you know, evil and wicked actions. And yet He punishes us for it. Now here comes the Shia school of thought to come and fight this idea. Also the Mu'tazili school of thought also has, you know, fought it off actually. And the idea that tafwid is for the Mu'tazili, that's a wrong idea. And that needs more, you know, details into it. But what I want to say here is that that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you guys have your free will. You human beings have your free will. You want to remember, you can remember. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various verses, and I think one of the verses that will come with us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the way for guidance. Even though it's easy, it's up to you. You want to remember or you don't want to remember, it's in your hands.
It's up to you. I'm going to stop you right there. We'll continue the discussion right after the break. Don't worry. This is IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. We are Quran Quest. Don't go away. The discussion is getting very interesting.
Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan.
You're back on iRabi English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are discussing verses 11 onwards from chapter 80 of the Quran. So, very interesting discussion you started there, how translating verse 12 is all about how you look at freedom of will. And since we have freedom, we should translate it as whoever wants to can remember the Quran. It's talking about the Quran.
Yes.
My question here is, why is it saying remember? Why isn't it saying a word like learn the Quran? Because we're trying to learn the teachings of the book.
Here it goes back to this. You know, al-dhikra in the Arabic language comes from dhakara, right? And that is to remember after forgetting.
Uh-huh.
To gain knowledge after forgetting the knowledge that you had. So this is pointing out to something very beautiful that's available in a vast amount of sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam, and a vast amount of verses that we will talk about. And that is that al-fitra, subghatullah.
Your innate nature.
The innate nature of human beings is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught human beings everything they need for guidance before their creation in this world. Fi alam al-dhar. So this alam al-dhar, this realm, let's say, let's call it a realm. Let's say this life that was off, that all of us took before coming into existence here. Let's say a stage of existence that we had before this existence in this world. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us, this is right, this is wrong. I am your Lord, and these are the Imam alayhum as-salam. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who accepts them, who doesn't accept them. All these verses that will come up with us, we will talk more about thoroughly. But for now, what I want to state is the saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi as-salam. And that is that if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us knowledge about him and the Prophet and the Imam alayhum as-salam and during that time, during that realm, or in that realm, and creating us from that, you know, let's say, existence, if it's correct, we would not be able to reach knowledge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor would we be even able to know him. That's the saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in Al-Kafi, and various different sayings. Our knowledge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our belief, our cling in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes from that knowledge that we gained from that realm. We forgot it when we entered this world. Now we need something to remind us of it.
Is that why it makes sense when people talk about God and the Day of Judgment? It easily makes sense.
And I'm kind of in shock from some, you know, atheists when it comes to, you know, them saying that there is no evidence. It's that they have been so, you know, dissolved in this material world and these laws of physics that we have in this realm and this existence, that they forget about the simplest and, you know, the easiest and essentials of thoughts. They don't go back to their innate. And you want proof of that? The proof of the story of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam with the man that was in the ship, the sailor that came to Imam Sadiq, who was an atheist. He asked him, What is your evidence that there is an existence of a creator? He said, oh man, were you in a ship? Were you not in a ship that was about to sink in darkness? And there was no one that could help you. And there was nothing that could help you. And you had no hope.
And you prayed to
God.
But
yet, your heart clinged on to something.
Had hope in something.
That thing that you clinged on to, that you had hope in, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You knew that there was someone that was able to help you survive, and you survived. And there's a verse about that in the Holy Quran. We'll talk about that inshallah ta'ala. So what the Quran always emphasizes in tadhakkar, remember. Remember, why? This knowledge that you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it should be taken as in that. Ponder, reflect, to remove the dust of your brains.
Thank you very much, Brother Habib. Very, very nice explanation on this verse. We're going to continue this discussion right after the break. This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away. You're back on iRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verses 11 onwards from chapter 80 of the Quran. And so God is saying that this is information that you can remember if you want. We're saying it's remembering because these have been hardwired into our existence from Alam al-Dhar, the realm of Dhar or particles, whatever people translate it as. Then it says that this Quran that we're supposed to, this remembrance, is on pages honored, exalted and purified in the hands of scribes, noble and pious. Are we talking about the same Quran here, or are we talking about the famous preserved tablet where the divine book comes from?
Here there are two tafasir. The mainstream tafasir and the tafasir that you could be that could be taken from the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam and understood from it. I'm going to say the mainstream one, and that is that Allah subhanahu, the suhaf and mukrama is the ones that are available in the seventh heaven or the fourth heaven, as the different narrations that are available on it, and that the angels, which are pure and are trustworthy and are envies and noble and pious, they are the ones that bring these, you know, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are, you know, in that script, in some kind of elemental manner that we can't, you know, comprehend with. They bring it to the Prophet. The Prophet turns it into words with his message, with his sayings, and then it comes and is written down as the Holy Quran.
That's one interpretation.
That's one interpretation. The second interpretation is that, no, في صحف المكرمة, it's been written down. Who wrote it down? Other than Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So these have been written down, and they are exalted and purified. They are exalted from the dirty, the wickedness and evilness of the devils. And they are purified from the sins and wickedness and miscorrections and distortion. The Prophet and his household, they are in the hands of envoys. Who are these envoys? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his household. They are the ones that protect the Qur'an. They are the ones that interpretate the Qur'an. They are the ones that understood the Qur'an. They are the ones that were spoken to in the Holy Qur'an. They're the people that spread the word of the Qur'an. So these are two interpretations towards it. And I've seen a lot of interpreters go left and right and try to interpretate it for a couple of reasons. Because it's not been clear to them why it says suhuf. It's available from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it exalted and purified? Who are these envoys? And why are they noble and pious? Some of them say it's the angels. And, you know, there's a couple of, you know, you could see, you could, if you look at all the tafasir available for these couple of verses, you could see them going left and right. And when you go to the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, you see them talk about it as it's something easy to understand.
Thank you very much, Brother Habib. It's always a joy talking to you. We always learn a lot. Thanks to our audience for being with us. If you missed that program, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and all our previous episodes from our website. Simply search iRab English Radio Quran Quest. The important message to take from today's program was that the Quran is a remembrance. We already know this. It's within us. It comes with us. The belief in God subhanahu wa ta'ala, a belief on the Day of Judgment, all of this comes with us. And what the Quran does is that it reminds us. So it is a remembrance. I hope we all spend more time studying the Quran, not just reading over it. And please don't forget to keep us in your prayers this Ramadan, me and the whole team here on the show. Until next week, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
A startup in the U.S. state of California is turning science fiction into reality by sending tiny robots on a fantastic voyage inside humans to treat brain disorders. The smart cells are small enough to be injected and can be carefully guided through the brain using magnetic coils placed outside of the patient's skull. The coils are linked to a computer that can remotely maneuver the robots through delicate pathways into the affected part of the brain. The micro-robots are also removed by rewinding them through the same route. The developers at Bionaut Labs say these robots are extremely important when it comes to zero-failure-sensitive surgeries.
For localized conditions such as cancer tumors, stroke, atherosclerotic plaque buildup, localized pain, and many other conditions, there is a real need to have a micro-robotic, precise, remote-controlled mechanism that can treat a condition only at a specific point and nowhere else.
The startup has already tested the robots on large animals. Inventors hope to use the robot to pierce fluid-filled cysts within the brain when clinical trials on humans begin in 2 years. If approved, they could offer key advantages over more invasive and dangerous treatments for brain disorders. Floating solar panels help landowners benefit from underused body of water. Now, a German company is covering 14,000 square meters of a lake with these panels, turning it into the biggest solar park in the country. The park is built by a family-owned company called Quartzwerk, which specializes in extracting and processing industrial minerals. The company says it wants to become independent of fossil energy sources amid rising energy prices. The head of the Floating Panel Corporation says they will be generating around 3 million kilowatts per hour of green electricity on the surfaces of Limmersheim Lake in southern Germany.
The plant can make a super big contribution to the land-neutral energy transition, because here an unused lake that was previously used for gravel extraction is being converted into a power plant for renewable energy.
Installation and maintenance of the panels are easy and safe, while they also offer a significant reduction in evaporation from the water surface. According to the company, this will save around 1,100 tons of carbon dioxide each year.
A restaurant in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta is taking fine dining to new heights, literally and figuratively, by giving diners a one-of-a-kind experience 50 meters above ground. The restaurant is called Lounge in the Sky. Diners are securely strapped into seats fixed to a table and are hoisted into the air using a heavy-duty lift. First, the gourmet meals are prepared in the main kitchen. Then, the food is loaded onto the platform where the dishes are plated and served to the patrons. The suspended guests are able to take advantage of breathtaking views as they gently rotate at great heights.
At first, it was not easy. I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to swallow the food, let alone drink. But after some time, I could eventually eat. It was thrilling.
While enjoying the meals, the guests use seat belts and the accompanying staff are equipped with safety harnesses. The guests are also briefed on safety regulations before the platform is raised. Diners call the one-hour experience exhilarating and worth the high price. The project developers say the restaurant was aimed at reviving local and international tourism sector after a big slump during the COVID-19 pandemic. The culinary experience is a first in Indonesia and the third in the world after Belgium and Malaysia.
South Koreans are getting outside to enjoy the open air with a local cherry blossom festival in central Seoul. This is while the country has been dealing with an ongoing surge of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. With some performances and the beauty of spring, many people look forward to turning the corner on the pandemic. Frank Smith has a story.
Spring has come to South Korea, and the cherry blossoms are blooming. COVID-19 restrictions on gatherings are finally being eased, and at Ansan Park in central Seoul, a small festival is bringing everyone back out.
I first came here with my friends 4 years ago, but we couldn't come for the past 2 years because of COVID. I was impressed to see so many people no longer being overly careful about COVID, and we're also very happy to be able to attend festivals like this one.
South Koreans have been quite diligent in observing social distancing guidelines and wearing masks. The Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been quite severe here, with cases only recently declining below 200,000 per day. Still, the government's decided to open up. From the open-air stage, Noah Ram and his band entertain a crowd that's anxious to finally get outside and enjoy group activities.
Ever since COVID, and particularly for the entirety of 2021, when the pandemic was at its peak, I have been unable to perform. I felt today was a restart. Spring has come, the weather's great, the blossoms beautiful, and I felt all of this was celebrating today's show.
South Korea's vaccination rate is nearly 90%, with children now getting the jab.
At first, I was very scared of COVID as I felt it was life-threatening. But now I feel okay with it because I consider it an experience and a certain reality. Also, I worry less because of the vaccines and the new medications.
The cherry blossoms blooming has been tracked from Jeju Island in the south and up to the capital as warm weather moved north. And with this change in seasons, attitudes toward life with COVID are changing as well. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The first all-private space crew has successfully docked at International Space Station after spending over 20 hours en route. Three paying customers and a former NASA astronaut will spend 10 days aboard the ISS. The tourists will participate in scientific research, including stem cell experiments and exploring how the body ages in space. The civilian crew were launched into space in a SpaceX rocket from the Kennedy Space Center on Friday. The trip was brokered by Axiom Space, which is the U.S.-based startup that coordinates rocket rides and provides necessary training. It's not the first time paying customers have visited the ISS. Russia sold seats on a Soyuz spacecraft last year. But this is the first mission that includes a crew entirely comprised of civilians.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A new selfie museum in Sweden is flipping the script by making visitors both the artist and the exhibit. The establishment is dubbed the Museum and is in a shopping mall in Stockholm. Unlike other selfie museums, this one has no works of art on its walls. Instead, its brightly decorated rooms are meant to serve as fun backgrounds for visitors to take their selfies or shoot videos in. Other rooms let the visitors bury themselves in candy-colored foam bricks, strike a pose under neon lights, or sit on a huge colorful swing. The manager says the museum is interactive and lets the visitors be the artists themselves in order to create the art they want to see. The Drone Show Korea 2022 has been held at the Busan Exhibition and Convention Center, BEXCO. It featured 137 companies and 533 booths, making this year's incarnation the largest in the show's six-year history. The event also featured the participation of a large international industry representatives from Japan and Western Europe. A highlight of this year's event was military technology centered around the unveiling of new indigenous UAVs. This year's show marks a long-endurance liquid hydrogen drone produced by a South Korean company. These developments reflect South Korea's attempt to improve resilience and revolutionize its approach to warfare. The event puts on display the importance of drone industry in various spheres, including defense purposes. More than 163 wildlife species have been released back into lagoons and forests in Colombia's Casanare province after being seized and rehabilitated by authorities fighting wildlife trafficking. These include 15 different species such as anteaters, turtles, macaws, a toucan, and a leopard. They were nurtured back to health by fauna vets from an environmental authority in charge of managing sustainable development. The authority, Corporinoquia, released more than 1,200 animals back into the wild in 2021 alone. Colombia is one of the world's most biodiverse countries by square kilometer and is home to some 10% of the world's flora and fauna.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered 8 miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching along with other threats has brought the species to the brink of extinction.
With neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Director of INEC Sport Management says the initial goal was to draw sports fans and players back into action.
Our initial goal was how can we encourage and gain back the interest of people to come back and play. And not only those enthusiasts, but then as well the new people who was not able to or never play badminton before. So that's why we come out with this experience called Shuttle in the Dark.
Playing on a futuristic court presents an unusual challenge for athletes as they have to adjust their eyes to the darkness to fly. Badminton is one of the most popular sports in Malaysia and Asia, with a thriving community in the Southeast Asian community. It has produced some of the world's top-ranked players. A zoo in Ireland's capital, Dublin, has unveiled its newest habitat called the Himalayan Hills, a brand new home of the red panda and the snow leopard. Visitors are able to see the red panda's habitat by traveling along the new trail around a rocky edge to an open viewing area. The red pandas are typically climbing, exploring, or munching on bamboo at the top of broad-leafed evergreen trees. The expanded habitat was designed with a red panda's tree-dwelling lifestyle in mind. Also, visitors can gaze up at the 15-meter rocky slope through an impressive panoramic viewing area to spot the snow leopards. These elusive felines are typically nocturnal, So catching a glimpse of one is a rare treat.
Yeah, the animals are settling in well. We've tried to recreate the wild habitat in the Himalayan hills. Both species live quite high up. In case of the snow leopards, up to 5,000 meters on these very steep rocky slopes, which you can see here in the habitat as well. We've tried to use the topology of Dublin Zoo.
The project took a few years to complete. It was halted in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and massive budget shortages, but was restarted after government funding in 2021. The zoo is part of a protection project for red pandas and snow leopards. These animals are listed as vulnerable due to threats from poaching and severe habitat loss.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech in this holy month of Ramadan. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned. Imam Ali alayhi salam in a beautiful hadith states, indeed, fasting of heart is better than fasting of tongue, and fasting of tongue is by far better than fasting of stomach. Based on such a statement of Imam Ali, fasting of heart and soul is the highest level of fasting. Thus, if someone wants to keep fasting at the very special level, his duties and obligations might be multiplied. This is when Allah Himself comes to the scene of one's life and orders purification of the soul. This is exactly what the true Muslim mystics, known as Urafa, did during history of Islam. Through asceticism and self-purification, they were not after discovering the hidden or invisible world. Instead, they wanted to reach to the pure divine knowledge. They wanted to have Allah in their hearts and to overcome their selfness. Truly, the main goal of an Arif is to purify his soul, and very special fasting helps him very much in this regard.
¶¶
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech in this holy month of Ramadan, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we would like to ask a very important and interesting question, and that question is about the Holy Quran. As you know, we're in the month of Ramadan, and the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. It's also the month in which we have been asked and requested to read as much Quran as possible. So today we're going to ask a question about the Quran. And that question is this: are we allowed to open the Quran, right, and kind of perform a divination, right, which they call it, in English they call it predicting the future, right, by means of the Quran? In Arabic they say tafa'ul, right, or opening the Quran and trying to understand and predict what will happen in the future, right? So this is what we want to ask today. And then if this is impermissible, this leads to another question. How does this tie up with what a lot of people do using the Quran, and which is the istikhara? Right? Istikhara is a practice that, you know, Muslims, you know, do. They open the Quran if they want to figure out whether a certain act is good or bad. Right? Why is this different from, you know, what this tafa'ul is? So according to certain riwayat and, you know, traditions which have been narrated, such as a tradition which is Sheikh Muhammad ibn Yaqub al-Kulayni has narrated from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam in the famous book Al-Kafi, we're not allowed to do this. We're not allowed to predict the future using the Quran. La tafa'al bil Quran. Right? Don't predict the future using the Quran. Right? Right. So this is clear that this is wrong. This is incorrect. Right? So the answer to this question is that no, this is clearly impermissible. We're not allowed to do this. So then the answer to the second question was this. The question was, what is the difference between this and the istikhara that people do? Right. So the answer to this question is that this is very simple. Istikhara is when we ask God, right, to show us what is good for us or not, right? In other words, when we take an istikhara, we're simply asking God to guide us to what is best. If the action is good or bad for us, it will lead to a good outcome or a bad outcome. We're not asking, we're not trying to predict the future based on, this istikhara. So there's clearly a difference between the two, and obviously we shouldn't confuse one of them with the other. And we should also add the reservation here that this istikhara is also, there's certain conditions for it. It should be performed after consultation and prayer and these kind of things, and also the use of the intellect, right? So this clearly, there's some conditions for it. And we shouldn't confuse here these subjects from with one another. Like, for example, we want to give an example here for this. We could say that when we do a tafa'ul, like, for example, let's say that somebody is sick and he wants to know, will I get better or not? He opens the Quran up really quickly and sees what the Quran says, tries to derive, you know, knowledge of the unseen about what will happen to him from the verse of the Holy Quran. This is what is impermissible. But like for example, if he wants to refer to a certain doctor, right? He's not sure if this doctor, what will happen, you know, by referring to the doctor is good for him or not, and he takes an istikhara, right? So this is clearly, there's a distinction between the two. We shouldn't confuse them with one another. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the permissibility of divination based on the Holy Quran. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Ramadan, the month of opportunities. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam and welcome to the program. It was said in the previous episodes that the philosophy of fasting is to reach God-weariness. God-weariness means taking heed of one's deeds, to do all of them for God's sake. This is, in fact, the program of the life of the faithful. But this program is not limited in personal aspects and includes social affairs too. The fourth infallible successor of the Prophet of Islam, Imam Sajjad, peace upon him, says, in supplication of his sermons book, Sahife Sajjadiye, said, "My Lord, adorn me with the adornment of the righteous and clothe me the costume of the God-weary, the costume for spreading justice, for quenching anger, for putting out the fires that are set among individuals, and for creating unity and friendship among those faithful who have been separated. All the points that Imam Sajjad, peace upon him, mentions for God-weariness are social issues. Thus, God-weariness is both personal and social. Personal God-weariness will culminate when it leads to social God-weariness. This will help individuals strengthen their faith. Social God-weariness means that society is careful not to disobey God's commands. Spreading justice, quenching enmities, and creation of unity among Muslims are highly recommended in Islam. Personal God-weariness means strengthening the inward against satanic temptations. Social God-weariness means bolstering sciences, industries, technologies, and faith of the society in the face of enemies. A Muslim society should be able to defend against enemies and overcome threats and conspiracies. God has ordained the fasting of Ramadan in order to strengthen God-weariness among the faithful. Recitation of the Quran, fasting, and prayers of this month cause individuals to pay more attention to do's and don'ts and urge them to consider God's satisfaction in their deeds. People in this month deal with each other more fairly and honestly. We should try to keep the achievements of Ramadan and wear the costume of God-weariness for the whole year. Well, in this part of the program, let's see which people are exempted from fasting. Although fasting is obligatory for every wise and mature person, it is not obligatory for some people. For instance, an old person who is too weak to fast should not fast, but he or she should give nearly 750 grams of wheat, barley, or dates to the poor for each day. However, if he or she has not fasted the Ramadan due to weakness, should compensate those days if they are able after Ramadan. A woman whose time of labor is near should not fast if fasting is harmful for her child. She should give 750 grams of wheat, barley, or dates to the poor for each day. Moreover, fasting is not obligatory for her if it harms her health. In both cases, later on, she should fast as compensation for all the days. A nursing woman whose milk is little and is not obliged to fast. She should also give nearly 750 grams of wheat, barley, or dates to the poor for each day. Later on, she should compensate the days that she has broken her fast. A person who is too weak to fast or suffers from excessive thirst is permitted to break his or her fast. Later on, they should fast if they are able. Furthermore, they should give nearly 750 grams of wheat, barley, or dates to the poor for each day of fasting. A traveler who travels more than a specific distance, 22.5 kilometers, and will stay less than 10 days in the destination is not permitted to fast. Imam Ali, peace upon him, describes the blessed month of Ramadan in this way. O people, this is the month which God has made it superior to other months, like the superiority of us, the Ahlul Bayt, to other people. And it is the month in which the gates of the heavens and the gates of mercy are open and the gates of fire are closed. And it is the month in which the call is heard and the prayer is answered and crying is received with mercy. It is the month in which there is a night wherein the angels descend by the leave of their Lord from the sky to the fasting men and women with greetings till dawn. It is the night of Qadr, 2,000 years before the creation of Adam, peace upon him. My walaya was ordained in that night. Fasting in it is better than fasting for 1,000 months, and an act of worship in it is better than 1,000 months. O people, the sun of Ramadan shines on the fasting men and women with mercy and it this month emits light over them with mercy. There is no day or night in this month except that Almighty God pours goodness in it over this Ummah. Therefore, anyone who enjoys a bit of the rainfall of divine blessing, he will be glorified on the day of meeting God. And no servant will be glorified with God except that God will place him in paradise. Imam Ali, peace upon him, would emphasize on recitation and practicing the Quran in the month of Ramadan. Recitation of the Quran is always good, but the month of Ramadan and the night of Qadr are very suitable for this purpose. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "Take heed of Allah. Take heed of Allah about the Quran, lest others go ahead of you in practicing it." He says elsewhere, "The appearance of the Qur'an is guidance and salvation from hell. If you practice its apparent instructions, you will be forgiven and graced by God, and God will fulfill what He has promised. But the inward of the Qur'an pumps the blood which informs of the eternal life. If a person's organs get this blood, they will always be healthy and lively."
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen, the loyal audience of IRB English Radio, welcome to another episode of Back to Reality. In the realm of truth, we have two very dear guests. Now I want them to introduce themselves to you. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Muzaffar Haider from the UK, and I'm studying in the holy city of Qom. Alhamdulillah.
Such a pleasure to be with you. So you're studying religion?
Yeah, I'm studying in the Hawza.
Yes.
I'm Sadiqa from the UK as well, and I'm studying in Qom as well in the Sisters Hawza. And my field of study is fiqh and usul. Fiqh and usul is basically the principles of jurisprudence.
Very great. So, you are listening to this episode during the holy month of Ramadan. Therefore, may Allah accept all your prayers and may you enjoy a fruitful month spiritually and mentally. And make the best out of each second of this month in which our fate is going to be destined. So, may Allah grant you all the blessings and don't forget us in your prayers. Now, in today's episode, we're going to discuss something that is related to the holy month of Allah, that is Ramadan. Now, before the holy month comes, there is a ritual in which they go to the mosques and they clean them. Also, there are plenty of people who do some specific cleansing before the holy month. I would like to dig a little bit deeper in that cleansing process.
You mean spiritual cleansing?
Yes, exactly. We would want to know, how is it to start cleansing ourselves from the inside? How to go through that phase?